Tonight, if you are healthy, I want to share with you how to be healthier. If you want to live a long time, I want to share with you how to add 10 to 15 years to your life, right from the Bible. So tonight, before we go into God's Word, let's bow our heads for an added word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for tonight, for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, tonight, as we open your precious Word, as we learn the wonderful truths in your Word, we pray that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that led the men of old to write the Scriptures, will lead us to understand. Bless us because we ask it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Healthful living. It was my first job, 16 years of age, and I started working at a gas station. Now, back in those days, you did all the kind of works. You washed the windshields, you checked the oil, you checked the water, you checked it all. But this day, my first day at work, in comes this real fancy car, and I mean it was a fancy car, very expensive, and everything on this expensive car was all changed around. Now, you would think, with the name Earnhardt, I would know a lot about cars. Well, here I am about to put water into the gas tank. And out comes the owner of the gas station. He sees what I'm about to do, and he says, "No, you don't put water in the gas tank." And I said, "Well, where is the radiator then?" I couldn't find it. This car was really a fancy car, so it wasn't my fault. But here I was, about to destroy a very expensive car. Do you know that a lot of people are putting the wrong things into their bodies and destroying their bodies? 80%. Listen to this. I want to read something to you. 80% of all disease. Let me see how this goes. 80% of the disease, excluding infections and accidents, is due to wrong health habits. Millions of Americans are committing suicide on the installment plan. How many here have ever owned a Pinto, Ford Pinto? Anybody? Got a hand or so? I had a 70-71 Pinto, and I drove that car for years. Had 150,000 miles on it when I finally got rid of the thing. But something I did, it never used any oil, even up to 150,000 miles. But I always followed the manual that I found in the glove compartment. It told me when to change the oil. It told me when to change the spark plugs. And I followed it, and it lasts me a long time. Well, we've got a manual that we're going to follow tonight, and it's the Word of God, how to add years to our life. Some months ago, I was in a Bible study with a group of ladies, and we had some ladies from the Baptist, from the Methodist, from the Lutheran, from the Catholic, all these different denominations. And I overheard three of these Catholic ladies talking about going and joining a Weight Watchers class to lose weight. Well, I spoke up and I said, "Hey, you don't need to spend your hard-earned money. Let me give you an outline from the Bible, and I guarantee you can lose weight." So they said, "All right, bring us the outline." Well, I went home and I told my wife what I had said, and she said, "Well, do you have an outline like that?" And I said, "Well, no, but I'm sure there's one in the Bible." So we got to work looking up Bible text, and we found in the Bible, the Word of God, an outline. I took it back to these ladies, and one of these Catholic ladies really stayed right with it, and she lost the weight that she wanted to lose. Well, tonight, I'm going to share with you how to lose weight or gain weight. You know, there's some people who want to gain weight, and we're going to talk about that tonight right from the Word of God. Let's find our setting. Take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Psalm 67, and I want you to look at verse 2. The book of Psalms 67, and notice what the Bible says. Psalm 67 and verse 2. Notice the wording here. Psalm 67 and verse 2. It says that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving, what's the next word? Health among all nations. God has a health message in the Word of God. And we're going to look at this health message tonight because, you know, here's what happens. In most churches, or all churches really, they preach the spiritual. But very few churches ever talk about the physical and the mental. Now, I'm a believer as a Christian that God wants us to be whole in all ways, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I also believe that they all three go together. And so we're going to look at all three tonight. Look at the New Testament, 3 John and verse 2. That's the little book right before the book of Revelation. 3 John and verse 2. Notice the wording here about helpful living. 3 John, verse 2. Here's what it says. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I don't miss this. He says, I want you to be in health. I want you to prosper. But then he says something in this verse. Prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. What? The Bible clearly teaches the way we take care of ourselves physically will affect us spiritually. If a person is not whole physically, it's difficult for that individual to understand spiritual things. So we're going to bring it together tonight. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 in the Old Testament. Isaiah, chapter 55, and look with me at verse 2. Isaiah, chapter 55, and verse 2. Again, notice the wording. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and listen to what he says. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What? Notice the wording. The physical affects the spiritual. Eat that which is good. Take care of the body, and it will affect you spiritually. And that's what we want to look at tonight. How does the physical affect the spiritual? Go back with to the book of Exodus, chapter 23, second book of the Bible. And here in Exodus 23, God gives us a promise. Listen to this promise. It's one of the greatest promises in the Bible. Exodus 23, verse 25. It says, and you shall serve the Lord your God. All right, if we serve the Lord our God, what happens? He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And then he adds these words, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Whoa, what a promise. Has anyone here ever been sick? We all have. We've all been affected by different things and different problems. But a lot of that is caused by wrong health habits. And so we're going to look tonight how if we serve God, he gives us the promise. He says, I'm going to take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, I know it's true that all sickness will not be done away with until Jesus comes and gives us life eternal, of course, through the blood of Christ. And so that's going to happen one day. But right now, in this life, we can live a better lifestyle, live a healthy lifestyle, and do away with a lot of the sicknesses that people have. Let me show you what happened to Moses. Look at Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, chapter 34. And notice how old Moses was when he died. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. It says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What? He lived to be 120 years old. His eyes were still in good shape. Why? How did he die? Well, he died of natural causes. But Moses followed the principles found in the Bible that I'm going to share with you tonight. And if we'll take these principles and apply them to our lives, we can live a long time, a good, healthy life. Look at one of the principles I want to share with you. 1 Corinthians, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And notice the wording here, verse 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And verse 10, this is a Bible principle that if we apply in our lives, we can add years to our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Notice the wording. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now notice the wording. No drunkard shall enter into the kingdom of God. Now I heard a few years ago that man says that alcoholism is a disease. Friends, if alcoholism is a disease, it's the only disease that I know of that'll keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Alcoholism is more than a disease. Let's call it by its right name. I was born in the back of a tavern. My parents, mom and dad, were both alcoholics. My grandpa was an alcoholic. All my uncles were alcoholics. I was becoming an alcoholic. I know what it is, and I know what it's all about. You take one drink of alcohol, if you're an alcoholic, and you'll be drunk before it's over, because you won't just take one, you're going to take one another and another and another. So God made a point here. No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? What happens to a drunkard? What happens when I take a drink of alcohol into my system? I'm destroying so many brain cells. Now, I want to tell you something. Most of us don't have a whole lot left. You know what I mean? So to add more killing of brain cells, we can get into a lot of trouble. But look what the Old Testament says on this. Turn with me to Proverbs, and it adds some words. Proverbs 20, because someone said recently, they said, now, John, the Bible says a little bit of wine is good for the stomach's sake. You ever heard that? That's a Bible text. It does say that. But what is God talking about? No place in the Bible does God contradict himself. So in one place he says, don't drink it, don't be an alcoholic, don't be a druggie or whatever. But then another place he says a little bit of alcohol or wine is good for the stomach's sake. See, the Bible, no place contradicts itself. So what is God saying? Look at Proverbs 20, verse 1. Proverbs 20, verse 1. The Bible says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, the reason this subject is very important is because I have found over the years that a lot of Christians have become what they call social drinkers. And Christians feel like it's all right to have a little drink now and then with your meals or after meal or whatever. And this is a growing tendency to think that it's all right. Well, why is it God says not to drink alcohol, but another place he says wine is good for the stomach's sake? Well, it's simple. You got to find out which wine he's talking about. When Jesus worked his first miracle, he took water and he made wine out of the water. Remember that? That was his very first miracle. But they called it new wine. New wine? What's the difference in new wine and old wine? The new wine, well, you can go down to the grocery store and buy it. It's called Welch's Pure Grape Juice. It's that simple. But the old wine is when the wine begins to ferment and it becomes alcohol. Jesus, or the Bible says in Isaiah, it says the good wine is right from the cluster of the grape. That's the fresh grape juice, fresh wine. So what God was saying is, hey, yeah, you need a little bit of wine for the stomach's sake. That is, and they've proven that pure grape juice, if a person has stomach problems, actually helps stomach problems and other ailments if you drink it right from the cluster of the grape. Now, how do we know this? Proverbs 23, look what it says. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Notice the wording here. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Look what he's saying. When you see it, when it's red in its color, when it does all of these things, then stay away from it. So what was he saying? Hey, when it's fermented, when it's alcohol, don't touch it. But now let's go a little bit deeper than this. It's not only alcohol that can harm the body, but it's anything that may defile the body, the temple of God. Anything we drink, you know, too much of this and too much of that can be harmful to the body. Even caffeine, they've proven that caffeine is bad for the body. They tell women who are pregnant not to drink caffeine during their pregnancy. Why? Well, because it may harm the baby. So there's a lot of other things besides alcohol that may be harmful to the body, and we should be very careful what we put in the body. But why? You're in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 3, or let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look here at verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Notice what the Lord says about our bodies. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What? Your body, my body, the Bible says, is the temple of God. That's where God wants to rule in my life. He wants to dwell in my body. Look at the next verse, verse 17. If any man... Now, how many people does that include? That's everybody. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Actually, in reality, we're destroying ourselves. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. My favorite two verses in the Bible. And I'll tell you why after I read them. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It basically says the same thing what we just read. But it says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now here the Bible says, you are the temple of God, that you have been bought with a price. Now why are these my two favorite Bible texts? Many years ago, I came home with a cigarette in one hand, a beer can in the other, walked into my home, my wife and I on the verge of breaking up, and she trying to save our marriage, and she wasn't even a Christian, but she had found these verses, and she began to read to me. And I said, I don't want to hear that stuff. And she said, I'm going to read it to you anyway. When she read these verses to me, I realized for the first time in my life that somebody really loved me, and his name is Jesus Christ. Because the verses said that I had been bought with a price. What was the price? The price was Jesus dying on the cross. Up to that point in my life, when anybody ever said something to me about the way I was taking care of my body, I'd say, hey, leave me alone. This is my body. I'll do whatever I want with it. But that night, I realized it's not my body. It belongs to Jesus. No matter who we are, our body belongs to Jesus. Twice. Now, you think about it. First, the Bible says He created us. That's what the Bible teaches, Ephesians 3, 9. God is the Creator. God created everything through Jesus Christ. So Jesus created us. But not only did He create us and He owns us that time, but He comes to planet Earth and walks among men, goes to the cross, and pays for me again. Twice. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that night, when my wife read those verses to me, I went to my bedroom, and I knelt down and I said, Jesus, if You're real, come into my life. The next morning, I went to work. I was working at a casket company, getting people ready for the grave. Now I'm bringing them alive, amen, you know. And so here I was. I went to work, got out of my car, took my cigarettes out of my pocket, went to the trunk of my car, and began to pour that stuff out. Beer and liquor, I always kept it with me. And I looked up and I said, God, if You're real, help me with these problems. And He did. Now, I'll be honest with you. Habits are strong. Did you know that? Years after, actually, not too many months ago, I had a dream. And the dream went like this. I'd find myself waking up in the middle of the night, my fingers up here to my mouth, just a puffing away. And I'd wake up and realize it was a dream. And thank the Lord, it was a dream. But temptation's real. But God is powerful, amen? He sets us free. And that's the power of the cross. And it was at that point that the Lord changed my life, and shortly after that, changed my wife's life. And we both became Christians together and been walking with the Lord ever since. You know, it's interesting. After we became Christians and I threw those cigarettes away, all my friends and even my relatives, they said, you know, this is just a fad. We'll give you a few months and you'll be back smoking, back drinking, back doing all the things you used to do. And it's been 30 years now. It's a fad. Yes, it is. But it's a real one, I'll tell you. And you know, I don't mind being a fad, a fan. People call it a fad or people call it a fanatic or whatever. I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. Amen? And He'll carry us through to the very end. Let's go to another verse, though. Let's look up Proverbs chapter 23. And I'm just throwing out some principles here tonight. And then we're going to get into some heavy stuff. And then I'm going to give you an outline an outline on how to add years to your life and how to lose or gain weight the biblical way. Here it is, Proverbs 23, verse 2. This is for those of us who really like to eat. Listen to it. Proverbs 23, verse 2. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Cut your throat? Well, what is he saying here? What he's saying is, if we overeat and overeat and overeat, we're doing the same thing. We just as well cut our throat because we're dying. We're killing ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually by the way we take care of our bodies. Hey, there's some more principles. And you know, this is what I found recently. I didn't realize that the reformers, and I'm talking about the reformers like Martin Luther and John Wesley, the Baptist reformers, the Methodist reformers, the Presbyterian reformers, I didn't realize that they preached so much about health reform. But they did. I found some things here recently that I was amazed. Let me just share with you what some of these guys said. And these were guys that, true reformers. Now here's John Wesley. Listen to what John Wesley, the Methodist Church, what he said. Quote, abstain from all mixed, all highly seasoned food, use plain diet, easy of digestion, and this as sparingly as you can, consistent with ease and strength. All pickled or smoked or salted food, all highly seasoned foods, is unwholesome. But these were reformers. Listen to this one. At a time when the use of stimulants was almost universal, he gave this teaching, quote, strong and more especially spirituous liquors are a certain, though slow, poison. Experience shows there is very seldom any danger in leaving them all off at once. Here's another one. This is a Presbyterian minister. Well over 100 years ago, Sylvester Graham, a Presbyterian clergyman, it says, stirred not only that denomination, but the whole country by his mighty proclamation of health truths. Here's what he taught. He taught the people that distilled spirits, wine, beer, cider, tobacco, opium, coffee, tea, pepper, mustard, and every other kind of artificial stimulant and narcotics should be totally abandoned. Wow, these were reformers. Here's another one. Quote, let the last meal of the day be simple and light and at a good distance from bedtime. Never sleep on a full stomach. End of quote. This is what one of the reformers taught. Several generations ago, the Congregational Church established Oberlin College. This is what he said, quote, that we may have time and health for the Lord's service, we will eat only plain and wholesome food, renouncing all bad habits, and especially the smoking and chewing of tobacco, and deny ourselves all strong and unnecessary drinks, even tea and coffee, as far as practical, and everything expensive that is simply calculated to gratify the taste. Wow, these people preached loud and clear about health reform. Now, I know what tobacco is all about because my sweet mother has dipped snuff ever since she was about 3-4 years of age, and she still dips it today. She's in her 70s and just a sweet little lady, but boy, she has to have her snuff. And I have talked with her over the years and prayed with Mom. The Lord gave her victory over the alcohol, set her free from that. But boy, that tobacco, that snuff is something else. She went to the dentist here a few years ago and she had a bad place in her mouth. And I know what it is. You know what the dentist told her? He said, switch sides. He could have easily told her it wasn't good for her. And I'm just going to throw out a little something here. This was so cute. I have preached to my mother about this for years. And you know, we're in the South, and a lot of people do dip snuff in the South. And I shared with my mom, and I said, Mom, you really need to get rid of that stuff. So Mom decided she was going to read her Bible to prove me wrong. And she went from Genesis and read her Bible all the way through the whole Bible to find snuff in the Bible as being okay. And she found it. In the Old Testament, it's talking about the sanctuary, and it says they used snuff dishes in the sanctuary. Do you know what a snuff dish is? That's what they snuff out the candles with, you know? And it said that, it's spelled the same way, S-N-U-F-F, snuff dishes. And she said, it's got to be all right because they had dishes there for you to spit in, right there in the church. Bless her heart. And I couldn't prove to her otherwise that that was not snuff dishes that you dip, you know? But anyway, habits are strong. But God wants to set us free, and we're going to look at some of these things that God wants to give to us. Look at Leviticus chapter 11. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 11. And, well, first of all, Leviticus chapter 20. I want you to see what God said here about other health principles. Leviticus chapter 20, and look at verse 25 and 26. Leviticus 20, 25 and 26. The Lord says, "You shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. You shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." Now notice the wording. God says, I want you to put a difference between the clean and the unclean. Now some people say that that was just for the Jews. Now there's a slight problem with that. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 2, that's Genesis 7 verse 2, long before there was a Jew, God said to Noah, "Noah, I want you to take into the ark seven of the clean and two of the unclean." Now this was long before a Jew. Then we find in the book of Revelation chapter 18, Revelation 18 verse 1 through 4, it says there are unclean animals in Babylon. So it's not just for the Jews, it's for everybody. God didn't make the Jews' body one way and our body another way. We're all made the same. So God gave us some principles. He said, I want you to put the difference between clean and unclean. Now, how are we to do that? How are we going to tell the difference? Look at it. Leviticus chapter 11. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 11 and look at verse 26. Here's how you make a difference between clean and unclean foods. All right? Leviticus 11 verse 26. It says, "The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean." Now, notice the wording. God says, the carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud. All right, that means we got to go out here and look at all the animals, get down on the ground, see if they got a split hoof. Okay? Then you got to look at them when they're chewing. Make sure to see if they're chewing their cud. Is that right? Well, that's what the Bible says, but here's what's nice. God is so good to us. We don't have to go out in the pasture. We don't have to look at the feet. We don't have to look at the mouth. We don't have to watch them eat. But God gives us a list. Now, you talk about a merciful God. He actually names the creatures that are clean and names the creatures that are unclean. That's a good God, amen? So we don't have to worry about which is which. So let's read Leviticus 11. In the book of Leviticus chapter 11 and also in the book of Deuteronomy, God gives a list of every clean and every unclean animal. Look what it says in verse 5. Leviticus 11 verse 5. Let's go down the list. First of all, it says, "And the coney." Now the coney is a rock badger. "Because he cheweth the cud, but he divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you." God says that the rock badger is unclean. Anybody here ever eaten rock badger? Alright? You know, I was up in Washington, D.C. area, right outside of Washington, D.C., conducting a series of meetings like this. And I was speaking on this subject one night. And I asked, anybody ever eaten rock badger? Man in the back raised his hand. Anybody ever eaten mice? Man in the back raised his hand. Anybody eaten rats and snakes and man, everything? He raised his hand to everything. After it was over, I went up to him and I said, man, you undoubtedly, you've eaten everything. He said, yeah, I'm a survivalist. I eat anything. If it crawls, walks, or whatever, I'll eat it. If it squeaks or whatever, it's mine. And sure enough, this guy, you could tell the way he looked, he had eaten everything, bless his heart. But let's go on. Since we don't have any rock badger eaters, let's go to the next one. Verse 6. "And the hare," that's the bunny rabbit, "because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you." Now, let's see how many hands go up. Now, how many of you here have eaten rabbit? Got a few hands. I want to tell you something. There's nothing like rabbit stew. And when I was a kid growing up, we used to raise our own rabbits. We would raise them. We'd put them up on the clothesline. When you hang them on the clothesline, You know what you got to do at that point. You hang them on the clothesline, you take care of them, then you drop them into the pot, the boiling water, and man, you talk about a stew. But I'll tell you something, I don't eat them anymore because of what God says. Now we're going to get some more people on the next one. Verse 7. And the swine, if you don't know what that is, that's Miss Piggy. Though he divide the hoof and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Now, how many here have ever eaten pig? Oh, and now we're getting close, aren't we? We're bringing it home now. We used to eat the pig from the tail to the snout. The only thing we didn't eat was the squeal. And you couldn't eat that. If we could have, we'd eat, ate that too. So, but the God says it's unclean. I remember as a kid, in our tavern where we owned this tavern, we had a jar in that tavern right on the counter there where people could come in, and it was full of vinegar, and they would put pig feet inside that vinegar, and it would soak for days and days. And my mom would take one of those out and throw it down on my plate, and she said, that's your lunch for today. And I could chew on that thing all day long. I mean, those things, you just chew and chew and chew, and they're still left, you know. But wait a minute, God said they're unclean. You know, it's amazing, a swine will eat anything. How many of you ever gone and watched people? Maybe you even raised them one time. Our neighbors raised swine. And I'd go over as a kid and watch them, what they call slop the pigs. You know? They take out there and they'll take to pigs and feed them rotten bread, rotten this, rotten that. Pigs will eat anything. They've even been known to eat people in some countries. They're so bad. When I was living in Florida as a teenager, my dad was helping to build that interstate between Daytona and Orlando, that Interstate 4. And when we lived in that area, they would always, right before time to pick the oranges, they'd put a little fence around the orange groves, and they'd put their pigs out there for several days, and then after several days, they'd go and pick the oranges. So one time I asked the people, I said, why do you put a fence around your orange grove and put the pigs out there? And they told me, they said, the pigs eat the rattlesnakes and kill the snakes, and then they can go in there and pick the oranges, don't have to worry about getting bit by a snake. A pig, at the bottom of its hoof, has a little valve and is continually draining. A snake, a poisonous snake, can bite a pig and it'll drain right through that drainage. It's amazing. A pig is a pig. Now somebody says, John, wait a minute. Jesus cleaned them up. You ever heard that? That he changed all of that. That they're okay to eat now. Now let me tell you something. You take a pig and take him into your house, put him in your bathtub, you wash him, scrub him down, and you paint him white if you want to. And you let him go back outside and he'll show you he is still a pig. He has not changed. Now what's wrong with the pig? First of all, if I didn't even have what the Bible says, I'd know better to eat than eat pig today. Swine has a little worm called trichinosis. It's a parasitic worm that you cannot see. Reader's Digest came out with an article a few years ago, and it said that around 19 to 25 million Americans have trichinosis and don't even realize it. When you go to a doctor and you've got high blood pressure or this problem, that problem, what's the first thing they try to take you off of? Pork. And here's what they'll tell you sometimes. They'll say, if you're going to eat pork, eat it well done. Do you know why they're telling us to cook it well done? Because they want us to eat the dead worms instead of the live ones. Yeah. It's good you're not going to eat after the meeting tonight, isn't it? But anyway, swine. Now, here's what's amazing about this. God meant for us not to eat the swine and other unclean animals. Every animal was created for a purpose. Swine was created to be a scavenger. So was the buzzard. So was the rats and every other kind of creature. But there are clean and there are unclean. But let me show you what God said about the swine later on in the Bible. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. Notice how strong this is. Isaiah chapter 66, beginning with verse 15. Follow along with me. Isaiah 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. This is the second coming of Jesus. Look at the next verse. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Well, now that's strong language. God says if we're eating the unclean, including the swine, the abomination, the mouse, when He comes the second time, we'll be destroyed. Now, what does He really say? We're actually destroying ourselves is what's happening by the way we take care of our bodies. But this subject is important. God meant what He said. Now, why does He put swine and the mouse together? Did you know that in some parts of the world that eating mice and rats is a delicacy? Did you know that? In some parts of the world. There was a program on TV back some months ago, and I was watching it, and it showed these people eating this delicacy of one in one country, and they were eating rats. And those people think we're crazy for eating swine, and we think they're crazy for eating mice. And hey, they're all together on this thing. Well, what else does God say? Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 11. I want you to see a little more here. Since I'm here in this area, I've got to share this with you. Myrtle Beach, when I was down there and shared this, they wanted to send me out of the country. Leviticus chapter 11, look what it says. Look at verse 9. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall you eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. What? The fish must have fins and scales in order to be considered clean. Now wait a minute. Fins and scales. Do you know what that does away with? Crabs? I hope you still love me after this. Crabs, lobsters, shrimp. Ooh. The Bible says they've got to have fins and scales, you see, in order to be considered okay to eat. Boy. Well, the fish have to have fins and scales. According to the verse there, as long as they got fins and scales, they would be considered as a clean fish to eat. Now, here's what's amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen where they raise shrimp, but I had the privilege one time to go to a place where they raise shrimp for the markets. And it was amazing that they were doing it right where the sewers were coming out of the places into the ocean and right in that general area, because shrimp is a scavenger. And so they were. No wonder there's so many diseases, hepatitis and other contagious diseases that have been spread from the eating of certain animals. No wonder. Man is committing suicide on the installment plan. But wait a minute, what about the clean animals? Well, there's chicken, there's deer, there's cow, there's lamb. These are all considered as clean animals. And fish, of course, if it has fins and scales. But what about frog legs? Anybody here ever eaten frog legs? Ah, you talk about good eating. Now, those of you who raised your hand, back me up on this one, all right? Because some of the others who haven't eaten frog legs won't understand this. When I was a young man, we would go down, we'd get a group of guys together, and some of them would go down and go down what we call frog gigging. We'd take our pointed sticks with our flashlights, and some of us would have a .22 rifle, and the others would have the stick, and we'd take our flashlight. We'd leave a guy back at the camp getting the coals good and hot, you know, getting the fire ready. And we'd go down there and we'd get those frogs, those big old frogs, and get, well, I don't want to tell you how we did it, but we'd take those legs. Now back me up. You get your piece of white bread, you got your mustard on there. As soon as you put those legs on that hot frying pan, what do? They jump, and here I am running around with my piece of white bread just trying to catch one, you know, when it came down on the bread. But you talk about good eating. Frog legs is like eating the white meat of a chicken. I mean, it's good, but wait a minute, I don't eat it anymore. Because the Bible says that they're considered unclean. Wow. Why did God create such creatures then? He created everything for a purpose. But not everything was created to be eaten, you see. Let's go to Leviticus again, chapter 3. I want you to see something else here. Leviticus chapter 3 and look at verse 17. Let's add to this list Leviticus 3 verse 17. And it says this, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood." You're not to eat fat nor blood. If you go to the doctor and you've got some kind of sickness and you're not sure what it is and they don't know what it is, usually the first thing a doctor will do is check your blood. Because if you have a disease of some sort, it will probably show up in the blood. So God says, I don't want you to eat the blood or the fat of any animal. What is that? Why? Because if that animal has any kind of disease and you eat the blood or the fat of that animal, you're going to transmit that disease right into your own body. God knew what He was talking about. God doesn't want to keep anything good from me and you. Everything that God says we shouldn't do is for my good. Why? Because He's the Creator. He knows what's for our best. Amen? So He gives us a list. He makes it very clear. He makes it very simple so that we can understand. But I want to take you to the Bible here and show you the original diet that God gave to man. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. Here is the original diet given to man in the very beginning. Genesis 1 verse 29. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Fruits, grains, and nuts. That's what He said. He said, this will be for you for meat. This will be your food. So Adam and Eve had a perfect diet. Adam lived to be over 900 years old. Now, I'm not telling you tonight, if you follow the diet in the Bible, that you're going to live 900 years. But I will tell you this, if you follow the principles that I'm about to share with you, you can add 10 to 15 years to your life. So here was the original diet, fruits, grains, and nuts. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 16, God says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Look at Genesis 3, verse 16. Genesis 3 and verse 18 it is. It says, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." So the diet in the beginning was fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. That's what God gave to mankind in the beginning. By the way, you may not know this, but all the animals were vegetarians before man sinned. No animal killed another animal until man sinned. But when man sinned, it caused a change in everything. When we get to heaven and on the new earth, the Bible says that all the animals will be vegetarians again. It says in Isaiah chapter 11 that the lion will eat straw just like the cow does. That's what it says. So everything's going to be changed back the way it was in the beginning. So here's what my wife and I decided to do. Some years ago, we decided that we would follow this diet, that we would cease to eat any kind of meat. Now, the Bible does not forbid the eating of clean meat, such as cow, chicken, deer, and so forth. But we decided that we would not eat any meat anymore. And our two oldest daughters were raised without eating meat. I'm sold on the plan. I'll tell you why. When I was growing up, we ate anything. If it crawled, moved, or shouted, we ate it. You know. So I was sick with this problem, with that problem. I've got cavities that I had to have filled. My two oldest daughters grew up in a home that they were vegetarians, never had any meat. They never went to the hospital. They never had a cavity. They never had diseases like a lot of other people have. So I'm sold on it. And once we decided to step across and do the same thing, we didn't have all the sicknesses that we had before. So what is it? What is it to this? Is there proof that this kind of diet, this original diet, would help people? Well, let me just share with you what's happening in our country, which is a little sad, but it'll help us to understand what I'm talking about. Food safety. This was in one of the newspapers not too many months ago. It says this, "One thing should frighten American consumers even more than the fear of mad cow disease that holds Europe in its grip. Government complacency." What do they mean? Well, listen to what the government has done. And it's kind of a frightening thing. Meat from diseased animals approved for consumption. What? Here's what's happening with the government regulations. They're taking diseased animals, and I'm talking about even the clean cows and deer and so forth and foods like that that they sell, and they're not doing away with the diseased animal. What they do is they cut off the diseased part and then they send it on through. I had a man that worked for the government who was a government inspector that I met down in Alabama a few years ago. And this government inspector, here's what he told me. He said they would go and inspect these chickens, and as they would come through, they'd cut off the disease part and then send it on through. Well, now, wait a minute. A disease, a cancer, not only gets the disease part, but it goes through the whole thing, you see. No wonder people are being sick today because of the foods that we're eating. The foods that they're selling to us. Well, let me share another one with you. Here's something that was really frightening. This was taken from U.S. News and World Report, May 31, 1999. It says this, most troubling are antibiotics approved for animal use that belongs to the same classes of drugs needed for curing people. Here's what it says. Farmers use the drugs to spur faster growth and treat livestock diseases. But while most bacteria exposed to the antibiotics are killed, at least a few survive. These resistant bugs multiply and can be passed to humans through raw or undercooked food, water, and manure. Then it goes on to say what they're doing is these antibiotics that they're feeding these livestock and things are the same antibiotics that we take when we get sick. And if we're eating those meats and so forth, we already have it in our system. And those antibiotics don't even help us. Wow. And then I saw this program on. I don't know if you saw it. It was on 60 Minutes. And let me see if I got the date here for you. It was March of this year. March the 13th, 60 Minutes. And the title was, and I wrote, I got it off of the internet after I saw it on TV. It's 60 Minutes. What have they done to our food, it says. How much food at the supermarket is the product of gene splicing? Up to 70% of processed food in the American market contains products of genetic engineering, including soft drinks, ketchup, potato chips, cookies, ice cream, and cornflakes. Genes are the building blocks of DNA, the blueprint of life. It goes on to say that they are now using this gene splicing thing to put in salmon. And what it does is it causes the salmon to grow three times faster than in the past. And then what I couldn't believe was that they're taking meat and some way or another putting it in tomatoes and making the tomatoes grow faster and last a lot longer. Friends, what are we eating today? No telling what, amen? No telling. That's why it's pretty good to have your own little garden spot if you possibly can and grow a few things on your own. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:31, listen to what it says. Whether therefore you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, it says do it all to the glory of God. Deuteronomy 12:25, Exodus 20:5 says this. It says that the way we take care of our bodies affects generations to come. What? If I do not take care of my body, then my children receive of the way I have taken care of myself, you see. This is why my grandfather was an alcoholic, my father was an alcoholic, I was becoming an alcoholic, right on down the line. It's from the third and fourth generation, the Bible says. But praise the Lord, when my wife and I became Christians, we change the family tree. Amen. So the way we take care of our bodies will affect our children and their children and their children. So praise the Lord. My wife and I become Christians. Our children are raised Christians. Then their children are raised Christians. And it grows and grows the way it should. Let me do this. In closing, I'm going to take just a few minutes. I want to give you the outline I promised you. Only nine points. If you will follow these 9 points, I can guarantee you from the Bible, because it's all in the Bible, that you can lose or gain weight and you can add 10 to 15 years to your life. All right, get ready. Number one, eat your meals at regular intervals. What that means is eat your meals 5 hours between each meal. If you eat at around 7 o'clock every morning, you should try to eat every morning around 7 o'clock. If you eat lunch around 12, try to keep that pattern. But you need 5 hours between each meal. Why? Because the body needs time to digest that food. So eat your meals at regular intervals. Number two, you're going to find these 9 points are just so simple, right to the point. I'm a believer that if you follow these 9 points, that if you're skinny and you want to gain weight, you'll gain weight. If you're heavy and you're a little overweight, you need to lose some weight, I believe you'll lose weight. Because the body reacts the same way, whatever it needs, and God knows what the body needs. Amen? Number two, do not overeat. Boy, I tell you, how many love food? We all do. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that was the first sin? It was dealing with food? Boy, and that's come on down through the generations, hasn't it? Do not overeat. You know when you've got enough. Number three, avoid foods with high fat and sugar content. Avoid foods with high fat and sugar content. How many have ever seen on a package, fat-free? Man, fat-free. I can eat all of that. You know, I can get a bunch of those. But here's what you got to do. I have become an ingredient reader, a checker on ingredients. Because here's what happens. If it says fat-free, if you look on the ingredients, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that it's probably got about 33% sugar. Or if it says this, if it says sugar-free, you ever seen that? Look on the package and you'll probably find that it's got a lot of fat. Both do the same thing. It's amazing. They know how to get around that, you see. So I'm an ingredient checker. I check ingredients. Does it ever bother you when you look? Does anybody here ever read the ingredients and stuff? Does it ever bother you when you start reading and it says, Baba Taba, Hooga Booga, Skakaluka, Tasalala? You ever done that? And you're wondering, what in the world is this? Mono this, mono that, it's got all that kind of, sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? But anyway, I've come to the place, if it's more than 5 ingredients, it's probably not good for you. You know. One time my wife sent me to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, and you really gotta check bread because a lot of bread has pig in it. And it says it right there on the ingredients, lard. So here I was, I picked up a loaf of bread and started reading the ingredients, and it said it had wood shavings in it. Now I'm not a beaver, and I don't care for wood shavings. So I didn't buy the loaf of bread, of course. It's amazing what they put in stuff nowadays. Unbelievable. So check ingredients. Number four, eat a good breakfast. How many here do not enjoy eating breakfast? Anybody? All right, got a hand or so? Not in every case, but oftentimes people who do not enjoy eating breakfast usually are so busy, our lifestyles are so busy, we come home in the evening and after 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, we eat a large meal because we've been hungry and we eat a large meal. The next morning we get up and we're not hungry. So here's what I recommend. Eat a good breakfast. Lunch, a good lunch, but a very light supper, if any. Limit supper to low-calorie foods such as fruit or raw salad. Now here's why. Anything you eat after 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, if you're going to be going to bed at 9, 10, or 11 o'clock, that food's going to turn to fat. Now here's what I do in most cases. There are a few nights during the week that I eat supper, but not very often. We usually eat 2 meals a day. Eat a good breakfast, eat a good lunch. And I want to tell you something. If you eat 2 meals a day, a breakfast and a lunch about 2 o'clock, 2:30, by the next morning, you're going to be hungry. You're going to be ready to eat just about anything that comes out there in front of you. So, eat a good breakfast, a lunch, and a very light supper. Number five, never eat in between meals. Now, that's a difficult one. My dad used to say, he said, I eat 1 meal a day. He said, I eat, start at 7 in the morning, and I finish up about 10 at night. And continually eating all day long. But never eat in between meals. That's where people get into trouble. Even if you want to gain weight, it's not going to help you to gain weight by eating in between meals. The body has to have that time to catch up, digest the food that you've already eaten. Number six, drink 6 to 8 glasses of water daily. We need water. Your brain is 75% water. Your body is 75% water. You need 6 to 8 glasses of water daily. Some people don't care for water. They don't like water, but you need it. Number 7, 7 to 9 hours of sleep each day. 7 to 9 hours of sleep each day. Some of us can get by on 6, but most of us need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. You need that rest time. Now, all of these are so simple, aren't they? But here's the one that really catches people. Number 8, exercise daily. Exercise. Find something you enjoy doing. Bicycling, walking, swimming, jogging. Find something that you enjoy doing. My wife and I try to get up every morning and take a walk over there where we're staying at the RV court. We walk, and we walk. And it's refreshing. It just does something for you. So you need to do something that you enjoy and brings you closer to God, but you need the exercise. Here's what they did. They did a study. Now, those of you who are vegetarian, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand, because in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, only about 48% of the people are vegetarians. The other 52% eat what the Bible calls clean meat. They don't eat the unclean, but they eat what the Bible calls the clean meat. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand for that. But those who are vegetarians, if you're a vegetarian, you only eat good stuff, but you do not exercise, then you've got some big problems. Now, let me tell you what they did. They did a study. They found that people who were vegetarians but did not exercise were not as healthy as the person who smoked but exercised every day. It's hard to accept, hard to believe that, but it's true. So exercise is part of the plan. Number 8, exercise every day. Number 9, the last one. Number 9, fresh air, sunshine, daily. Now you think about what happens. From October till March, do you know what we do? Hey, don't forget to get your papers out there. From October till March, we seal up our homes, we close everything up, we caulk the doors, we caulk the windows, because winter's coming. And what happens? We're breathing the same air every day. We catch colds, we catch flus, and all that stuff. When? During the month of November, December, January, February, March. That's when everybody's sick. So I'm recommending this, that even in the wintertime, open your window in your bedroom just a little so you can get some fresh air. Friends, we need it. Fresh air, sunshine, daily. We should be temperate in all things that we do. Now, how do I know these things will work? Because all of them are in the Word of God. When you go out tonight, you're going to get a paper, and the paper gives a list of all the verses on everything that I've shared with you. Man says this, eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. God says, you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. My body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you a challenge tonight. A challenge to take all these principles that I've shared with you. Put them to practice. If it be drugs, if it be alcohol, if it be tobacco, by the way, I'll take any cigarettes you've got. No, I'm not going to smoke them. People bring me their packs. People bring me their cartons. I use tobacco, not to smoke, but I put them around my garden, around my plants, because it kills all the worms. All I do is just take that tobacco and just spread it all around, and boy, it does a great job of killing worms, and that's how powerful it is. And I give you the challenge to step out to glorify God in your body, in your spirit, in your mind. God wants to make us whole 3 ways, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I know how deadly tobacco is. I stood by the bed of my dad just a few years ago, dying of lung cancer. He smoked those Camel cigarettes, filterless Camel cigarettes, for 60-some years. It killed him. I made the doctor come into the room where my dad was lying there with lung cancer, and I told the doctor, I said, "Doctor, you tell my dad why he's dying." Because the doctor didn't want to do it. It's amazing what the physicians today, they don't want to tell you you're doing wrong. They won't do that. But I want to tell you, the preacher better do it. Amen? And I'm sharing with you tonight, this is killing people. And I had the terrible privilege of burying my dad and preaching his funeral because an early grave from smoking those cigarettes. They're deadly. So are drugs. So are alcohol. God wants us to give everything to Him. Surrender our lives, because your body, my body, is the temple of God. We thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you tonight, Father, that you want to change us. You want to set us free. You want your Holy Spirit to dwell in these temples. Lord, help us to be a clean temple so that you can dwell. Lord, help us physically, and that way our minds can be clear to accept the spiritual. Save us, Father, not in our sins, but from our sins. Because we ask it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.